Welcome to the High and Low Podcast. This is your host, Bravo, Bravo, Talking Bravo. What a day, what a week, what a month we are having. I feel like we can barely keep up with the Bravo news. We're about to go into a drought. I think it's a 20-ish day drought between Real Housewives franchise. Now, I'm the kind of person that I'm excited for a drought because I need a minute. I need a breather. The spring is very packed, very busy. And so I enjoy that. And I think that'll give us a chance to watch Below Deck and some other franchises and other things going on. But wow, they are really throwing a lot at us right now. So first of all, since we had the last pod, so much has happened. We found out that Candace was for sure leaving. Okay, fine. Then she comes out and says, and I'm pregnant. So it makes even more sense why she would leave a show that is causing her such emotional strife. You know, is it really worth the paycheck and the public persona? Take a minute. It'll always be there. Take a minute. So you leave on a high note, you come back when you want to. I think it's smart. Now, don't get it twisted. I'm no Candace fan. I do think she's mean as a rattlesnake, but nobody wants to see a pregnant woman under duress on a show like that. Then we already knew that Robin was going, but now it's confirmed. Robin is going. And it is a bit harsh. You know, the Bravosphere is a bit harsh when they're like, she got fired. So-and-so got fired. There is no fired anymore. Do we not realize that? There is no end. This is all infinite. Once a housewife, always a housewife. They're going to come back. They're going to be on Ultimate Girls Trips. They're going to be on spinoffs. We're never going to never see some of the great housewives that we've come to know and love. Other ones we don't speak of, we hope that they just fade off into obscurity. We know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to name names, but you can think of some in your mind that you're like, please never. I never want to hear this person's name again. And I think Bravo knows who those people are. You know, the awful people, the racists, the bigots, the people that were just terrible. We learned too much about them. They shall never return. But the other ones, the ones who just needed a break, we'll see them again. And on that note, Crystal announced that she was not coming back to Beverly Hills. That makes me sad. I feel like she was a good egg, a good person, which is rare on Beverly Hills. And so much of Beverly Hills is just contrived and fake and phony and silliness. And I felt like she actually told us about her life. I don't know. I'm concerned. We'll see what direction they go in for that franchise. And then in absolute ridiculousness that you could never even fathom in your mind, 8.5 Anne reaches a zombie hand up through the dirt and claws into the air at nothing. She will not stay down. She has come back on social media a few times this week. She started fighting with a parody account, a fake Crystal Minkoff account, okay? Not the official Crystal account. So somebody was just pretending to be her. I think it was either Instagram or Twitter. Said something. Oh, let me find it for you. Hold on. Okay, here's a timeline. Here's how I think it started. So people found out that Crystal wasn't coming back. She posted a very nice message thanking people, having gratitude for being on the show and saying that connections and relationships that she's made, both amongst the fans, the people who watch the show, as well as her castmates, that was the real gift of being on the show and all that good stuff. So it's a very positive, nice message. So what does 8.5 Anne do? She comes and she just all over it. And she posted a story that said, IDC, as in, I don't care. I don't care how good you play victim. Should be well, but we'll move on. How good you play victim. That karma gon' still tear your ass up. Smiley face, crying face. Oh, you're so funny. Oh, that's so poignant and hilarious. So then, an account that's not Crystal. I can't say that enough times. Not Crystal. But pretending to be Crystal. And there's a lot of those accounts online. And if you got two brain cells, you can tell the difference, right? But this account called Crystal's Plural Minkoff, I guess this was all happening on the artist formerly known as Twitter, wrote, worry about your transphobic rapist husband. Mm-mm-mm. Can I get the Nicki Minaj, did I lie? Hold on. Did I lie? Okay, so the account says that. And then Anne Marie, 8.5 Anne, blocks that account. And that account shows that Anne blocked it and says, don't dish it if you can't take it. Blood out. Whoever this person is, I dig them. I like them. So then 8.5 Anne says, false allegations against athletes are easy. Anyone with actual money knows that. Rolling eyes emoji. Pause. Rolling eyes emoji. Nothing makes me want to smack down on a person harder than the rolling eyes emoji. It's just so smug and so rude. So she's immediately saying the allegations about rape from more than one person against her husband are false. And anyone with actual money knows that. Then she says, "You worry about your husband," in all capitals. Again, she thinks that she's talking to Crystal. She thinks she's having a conversation with Crystal Kongminkoff right now. Okay? Whose husband has no problematic issues with cheating or giving her a number less than 10 or any number at all for that matter, because for a man to rate his wife is not normal. Okay. So she says, "You worry about your husband, the lying," all capitals, "king." Oh, see what she did there? "And your brother," and then fingers crossed emoji, and then a snowflake. "For that matter, peace, snowflake? Oh, and that video of you blurting out the N-word getting out. Fake, woke, racist." Now, there's one thing we know. We know 8.5 Ann is not all right. So we're just going to move on from that because she's fighting with air. She's fighting with no one. I don't know what she's trying to do or say there. But don't tweet when you're angry is always a good adage. You know, maybe that's something to have that cross-stitched onto a pillow and just put that in a place where she can see it. It's in her eye line before she grabs her phone, because that didn't go well. It didn't do what she thought that was going to do. And then Monica from Salt Lake City, who has already left the show because the ladies needed a break from her, even though she spiced up that show, she really did. But yeah, I'm really conflicted about her, as we all know. But either way, she was good TV. So she is pregnant by her, I think, 28-year-old boyfriend. So like a decade younger than her. Get it? And his name is Braden or Jaden or Caden. One of those names. Isn't that going to be so interesting when these kind of like new generational names are grandpas, like Grandpa Braden, Grandpa Camden? It's going to be interesting, I think. Now, before we get into the Valley, Brittany, y'all, is on the cover of Us Weekly talking about how my marriage fell apart. She's got a sweet little smile on her face. And again, I just don't trust one thing that happens with the Valley or the VPR peeps. I feel like this is just all for, you know, yeah, they could absolutely be having real problems. I'm not saying they're not having real problems, but I just feel like everything is maximized for the greatest amount of publicity and attention possible. And you're like, yeah, duh, I know. I'm like, yeah, but still. So anyway, she's on the cover of Us Weekly. Good for them. Get your clicks, get your views. And then it was announced that a designer named Rebecca Minkoff, no relation, is joining Real Housewives of New York City. It's the original cast from last time. Even Jenna, with her private equity money and her girlfriend who's not going to be on the show and her son who's no longer going to be on the show. They're going to add Rebecca Minkoff. And I don't know if she's a friend of or a full-time cast member. So that'll be interesting. Oh, and then also, Kristen from The Valley now posted that she got a mind-blowing body contouring procedure. And they have a lot of before and after photos. And I don't know what they did. Air sculpt? I got beef with the before and after photos. And I know that IG Famous by Dana would agree with me on this. So the before photos, she's just in underwear. Okay? So just a regular full coverage bottom. But the after photos, she's in a full up to right below your belly button pair of like yoga pants. Well, I can't trust that. The yoga pants suck you in. They keep you tight. I don't know what's really going on underneath there. I don't know what kind of real changes were made. I see a little bit of something. Anyway, I thought that was odd, but good for you getting some free stuff done. Last thing that happened in the news that I had on my little radar for sharing was that the Olympic costumes, I call them costumes, uniforms, I don't know, whatever they're supposed to be active in, they came out. And the men, they get to have their thighs covered, even though normally, biologically, women's thighs are a little juicier. They touch more often than men's. But no, ours get bared. The lady uniform is a high-necked with a zipper down the front. They don't say why you need the zipper down the front. Why don't the men have a zipper down the front? And then the crotch of the women's outfit is really the focus, because the width of the crotch part is narrower than the pubic area of the little robotic mannequin that it's even on. And that's a robotic mannequin that does not have fleshy, squishy lips. So if you're running as fast as you can with your fleshy, squishy lips, that little strip of fabric is going to have to pick. It's going to have to eeny, meeny, miny, moe a direction, one of the two. They can't both win. And I have very much enjoyed reading a lot of the commentary. Someone says, this suit has an extra advantage for the female form. This way, you can put your labia feelers out to check the wind conditions for the race. Then one of the athletes, Go Queen Go, tagged a European wax, the company that does all the waxing, and said, would you like to sponsor Team USA for the upcoming Olympic Games? Please and thanks. Another athlete said, wait, my hoo-ha is going to be out. Go for the gold. And then another athlete whose handle on Instagram is Fleshman Flyer. Her last name is Fleshman. Her response, what she wrote, it's worth reading to you. Here's what she wrote. I love it so much, and she's so right. I'm sorry, but show me one WNBA or NWSL team who would enthusiastically support this kit, as in the outfit. This is for Olympic track and field. Professional athletes should be able to compete without dedicating brain space to constant pube vigilance or the mental gymnastics of having every vulnerable piece of your body on display. Women's kits should be in service to performance, mentally and physically. If this outfit was truly beneficial to physical performance, men would wear it, right? This is not an elite athletic kit for track and field. This is a costume born of patriarchal forces that are no longer welcome or needed to get eyes on women's sports. I'm queer and I'm attracted to female bodies, but I don't expect or enjoy seeing female athletes or male athletes put in a position to battle self-consciousness at their place of work. That is not part of the job description. I live that life, and I know that excellence is born of unself-consciousness, of freedom, of embodiment of action and instinct. Stop making it harder for half of the population. And she tagged Nike, Team USA, and I think she nailed it. I mean, and then, you know, the Olympic people come out and they're like, well, that's just one option. There are other options. They can pick other options of other outfits if they don't want to wear. But that's what you chose to show the world. You chose to show the world this little strip of fabric that's going to supposedly cover the labia of women doing like crazy athletic things. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get some more women in the room. Bob?
And a movement I can really get behind is someone online replied to the European wax comment and said, this is the lesson they need to learn. We drop all wax. We don't shave. We don't do any maintenance. We go out full bush. You want to put me in that outfit? You're going to see what a woman's body really looks like. And I was like, do it. Do it. Let them learn. I'm not ashamed. We shouldn't be ashamed. It's a wonderful, amazing, beautiful body. You want to put it with a little strip in the front and you want to tell the Olympic team that's what they need to wear? Fine. But these are things they should not have to be thinking about. I mean, the men look at their costume, I'm going to keep saying it, and they're like, oh, great, no good, my thighs are protected from chafe, my body is held in, and I can be my best. And the women are like, where my coochie going to go? Like, that's a question we shouldn't have to ask anymore. It's 2024. You need to make room for the coochies. Stop shaming our mons pubis. They exist.
Now let's jump in. Let's recap the Valley. Episode 5. This one is called the D word. We can only assume it's for divorce. And then there are some clues and some Easter eggs that people allude to different names. And there's been some research done on that since the episode hit. So we're going to talk about that at the end. Here we go. This episode starts with Nia, beautiful Nia with all her babies, talking to the current Miss USA because, you know, Nia was Miss USA. And again, somewhere Rachel Raquel dries a tear. And they're talking about how she has a beach house in Malibu and the current Miss USA can't use it because she's going to go to Florida. So does Nia want to use it? And so they're going to have like a girls kind of weekend or something at the beach house, which I think is so great. And I always say, like, if I ever come out and visit Los Angeles, I want to like rent some little bungalow on the beach that in my mind is going to cost not that much money, but I'd probably be priced out. So we'll see if I ever do that. Then there was a scene that surprised me. It surprised me because for the first time, I put a positive check
in the column of Jack's makes a good husband, which I've never put a check over there before. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, oh, I like what I'm seeing. And here's what I saw that I liked. Number one, he says he does all the cleaning. What? And then they show him with his leaf blower, which that's very annoying, but at least it wasn't gas powered, because that's such a waste of gas. I think it burns more gas than a motorcycle does. It's just so, it's extremely wasteful to just like blow around some leaves, you know? But his was electric, not the electricity comes from jelly beans, but you know what I'm saying, in the grand scheme of things. And so he says he loves his blower. And I think the only time to be concerned is if he was really into his shop vac, there might be, you know, cause for a red flag to be thrown, but it's not. It's blowing air the other way. So he's no big deal, right? If he's into his leaf blower. And I think it's great. He likes to keep it tidy. He says he likes it to just look good. He likes things to be in their place, which is great. I think that's just a good attribute to have in a guy. I remember it was after some crazy party. It was my husband and I were just dating, and he was like cleaning up. He was very toasted. He was very, you know, three sheets. But even in his drunken stupor, he was cleaning up a little bit, like he couldn't help himself. And I was like, yeah, I would like that. That sounds good to me, because I will not clean up when I am tired or drunk. But then there's, of course, a very awkward scene between Brittany and Jax where he's begrudgingly washing dishes. Like, he cleans, but I think he's like, he's mean about it. You know what I mean? He's got some attitude, like, my dishes, which is like, whatever, you're doing them. Okay, so go ahead, bitch about it while you're doing them. At least you're doing them. But she comes in and she's so bubbly all the time, and she's giggly, and she's like, you're gonna have a good night without me, you know? And he's like, yeah, have fun with your friends. You should have fun with your friends. Their energy is very different, which I think it's always been that way. But in a confessional, she talks about how she tries to be bubbly and in a good mood and positive, and Jax is just so negative. It's like, yeah, that's Jax. You know what I mean? But I think it's more than mood. I think that it's that he takes little digs at her. And I don't think that she can even, she may not even be in a place where she sees the difference. Because it's like, fine, somebody be in a mood, big deal. We all love Eeyore, not a problem. But he's making little comments to her where she's like, I've got the tequila. And he's like, God forbid you forget the tequila. You know, he's taking digs. And that's, I think, the sad part. And then get ready, because I fell a little bit in love with Janet. I don't care what else she's got going on. She's reeling me in here with a hook. Here's what she says. They're headed to the Malibu Beach house, and Janet is driving because Brittany doesn't like to drive. You know, I don't like to drive. So Janet's driving, and she's wearing this like knitted, like throwback beach dress with some cutouts or a little belly. It's adorable. And she's driving and she's like, you know, if we had to rent this house that we're going to, it would be $25,000 a month. And she's like, of course, I looked it up on Zillow. First thing I do, you give me an address, I look it up on Zillow. Hey, bestie, same. She says, I know exactly how much everybody has paid for their houses, when they sold and what they sold for. I love it. And why wouldn't she? This show, there's a couple real estate agents on the show. They've all looked. And while the ladies are all starting to arrive in Malibu at the beach house, that's beautiful. Gorgeous house. Is it worth $25 million? I mean, that's where Los Angeles craziness just gets in. You know what I mean? But anyway, the guys are all going to go to Jax's. And so we see that the reason that he's been cleaning up and going crazy or whatever on the house and kind of in a mood is because all the guys are coming over, all the bros and the babies. Babies and bros pool day. But it's not just the daddies and the kids. It's all of the men. Luke and Zach, like every guy is coming over. They're bringing beer. It's a whole thing. Now, while Brittany and Janet are in the car, they're talking about issues that Brittany is having with Jax. And a scene really shocked me where Brittany is saying that Jax had texted her, like, go out, have a good time, have a good time with your friends. We've got it here. You know, get drunk, do whatever you want to do. And so she's making a big deal of that, showing it to Janet, like, okay, all right, you see it. He sent me this text. I can get drunk, whatever. And she's like, he says that now. But when I actually do have a good time or something, he gets very upset. And they show a flashback. I don't even know what party this was. But Brittany's hair is wet, so she's been in the pool. She's got a towel around her, and she's walking around in their backyard. And Jax is right next to her. She's like, I don't feel well. And he's like, you're a mom. You need to stop drinking. You want to have another kid? Act like a mom. And he's just going off on her because she was drinking. To which I would like to take his act like a mom. You want to have another kid? Act like a mom. And if I was a DJ, I'd be like, put a beat to that. Boosh, boosh, boosh. And then I would show like moms just going crazy, just hopping, bopping, doing all stuff. Act like a mom.
boof, boof. Not a problem. Got you. Acting like a mom right now. I'm going to suggest that to T. Kyle. He's been turning, if you haven't checked him out, T. Kyle, at T. Kyle, on, I think, T. Kyle, on TikTok and Instagram. Such a creative, amazing person, has been taking clips from Real Housewives shows and putting a backbeat to it. And they're, if I was in a club and they came on, why don't we just do that? I don't think BravoCon is ever going to give us the nightclub experience that I imagine, which is playing all of the greatest Real Housewives hits along with the kind of like fan music that has been created. It could fill, you could fill 2 hours with that and we would all go crazy. I might just do it. So Kristen shows up at the beach house. Everybody else is already there. So she keeps making this cardinal mistake of being the last person to arrive. She always looks disheveled when she arrives, but she arrives and she walks in and people are already shooting each other glances, which is not a good sign. And she's telling people she doesn't feel well and she hasn't felt well. And she talks about how she told Luke she wasn't feeling well. And he's like, is it morning sickness? Are you pregnant? Would you take a test? And so she's telling people it was negative, but who knows? And she's excitedly saying in her confessional, who knows? You know, it's still early. And then they cut to a confessional with Michelle. And she is stone cold. And she says, please don't have a kid because we don't need more of you around. Wow. Like, that's hurtful, Michelle, you know? I mean, that's really mean. So mean. So cruel to say on camera, just locked eyes with the camera, no hesitation in putting that out into the universe. That's rough. Yes, Kristen talked about something on camera that you don't like that she brought up. Kristen did not make those accusations. She was sharing that someone else had said that about you. This whole thing has really turn to it like it's really shoot the messenger at this point, or psychologically destroy the messenger and leave them with pretty horrendous wounds, things to say when they're trying to get pregnant. Like, damn. And so that's a good indicator of where we're at, where everybody's temperature is in the cast right now. And because she's adorable, Nia has an activity planned. They go on a beautiful balcony and there's a table set and they have an activity. And I can't tell what the medium is. I don't know if it's little ripped up pieces of paper and a glue stick or what. And I'm like, cool, let's just be creative. But no, it gets serious. And she's like, think about your intention for this piece of art or whatever it is they're going to make. Who do you want to be? Who are you? What are your goals? And I was like, oh, we're getting deep. They're not just having fun. They're setting an intention with this art. But then they start, in an introvert's nightmare, they start going around the table saying, everyone, what's your intention? What's your intention? What's your intention? And so they go to Michelle and they're like, Michelle, what's your intention? And she says, it's been a really hard year for me. So like, that's really hard to answer, but I'm going to say love. And she says, I want to love everyone in my family. I want to love all my friends. I want to love everyone in my life. And I was like, sweet. You also just said for Kristen not to have any kids because there shouldn't be more of her. How are we doing with this love intention? It's good to have goals. It's good to have goals. And then Kristen goes, and it's a little bit awkward because she starts telling people what her intentions are. No one asked her. People are like small talking. So she starts telling the table, my intentions, and people are still like, ah, blah, 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 and this ham is delicious. And they're not really paying attention to her right away. So then she gets everybody's attention and she's like, peace. My intention is peace. You know, there have been things have been said and things have been done. And I think if we could just all be a little more empathetic, because that's what I try to lead with. And people are just shooting each other looks. And she's like, and I can't help but feel everyone else's feelings. And more people are shooting other people looks. And in her confessional, Kristen looks right at the camera. And without a drop of irony, she says, it is so hard to be an empath. And then in one of the most poignant and amazing editorial masterpieces I've ever seen, Bravo put together a piano playing over old footage of Kristen being empathetic, cursing people out, talking about putting dildos up people's butts, staring dead-faced as Sandoval cried before her. Although, who wouldn't love to do that? You know what I mean? And then we start getting the comedy. We start getting the comic relief. Janet's like, does she know what empath means? Jasmine's like, really? Really, empath, really? And then we get to Nia. And this is where the episode gets very emotional and very sad.
especially for anyone who has ever dealt with postpartum depression. Nia starts talking about her intention for the day also being peace. And she starts saying that she's been having some hard times lately. She's been feeling sadness and she keeps telling herself it's going to go away and that she's normally a very positive person. And so she can understand in her mind that this is how she's feeling, but it's going to get better and it will change at some point. And in her confessional, she says she did not have the baby blues, which is this acute name for depression that can hit you after you have a baby. She did not have that after her first child, Asher. But since she's had the twins, which was 2 months ago, which is shocking that a person's doing a show 2 months after having twins, that she's been feeling that sadness and how hard it is. And it comes over her like a wave. And the producer asks her a question. I don't even understand his question. And I don't know why a man is asking a question, honestly. It's like, can you get out of here? Can we have a woman who's had a child come talk to her during this scene? Here's what he actually says. And he's British or something. Is it like a reaction to having children and the family and the love? Is that it? Is it completely an adverse reaction to all that? And she just stares at him for a minute and then says, she starts crying. And you can see her tears welling up. And she says, can we pause for a sec? He's like, what's that? And she's like, can we pause for a sec? And she gets very emotional. And she tries to be chipper. She like puts on a smile and she's like, I'm just going to check my phone and check on my babies or whatever. Get him out of there. Like, just, it's weird for her to express that in a confessional and then have someone try to pinpoint what exactly it is she's even talking about. That whole thing just made me sad and rubbed me the wrong way. But I know that I'm sensitive to this. So then they go back to the table and the women are just applauding her for facing this head on and talking about it openly. And she's thanking them for being a group of people that she can express this with because she doesn't talk about it a lot. And it was a very nice scene. And I am just really hoping that Nia got, because this was filmed a while ago, all the support that she needed with that. They cut back to the guys' pool day, the bro pool, the boys at the pool. And Danny is not coming. So Danny is Nia's husband, the one with the three under two. And so he's not coming. Something happened and the air conditioning broke. I don't really understand it, but I was like, wouldn't you want to leave then? And Jesse laments about things are not going well and therapy for them. So now we know we're about to focus on the Lallys. And sure enough, we cut back to the ladies. And between the cutback, there was an interesting song. It was like British rap. I was like, all right. Well, we had a British producer asking Nia to please define PPD, her flavor of PPD for him. And now we have British rap. So it's an invasion. Michelle has gone into a bedroom to sit and have a chat with Brittany. And so, yes, we are about to talk about the Lallys and the issues that they are having. And Brittany says, how are you feeling? And she tells her, basically, she's been more unhappy than happy lately. And in a confessional, she says that she had Isabella and COVID hit. So Jesse was very hands-on. He was home because everything was shut down. But then when things reopened, she says he disappeared. That seems tough, even on his side, because after you've been in it, if you're really hands-on, it's really hard to just completely detach from all of that. So it's sad on multiple levels. And so she's telling Brittany that she has not been happy since that. And she says she harbors a lot of resentment because he left her completely alone. She was just doing all of the work in it, solo parenting, and she has issues with that and it's hard for her to get over. And I'm immediately asking myself, you know, if they're the kind, they like to flex money with their, you know, $800 pillows and they're staying at the Ritz Paris and all this and like, get some help. I mean, get some coverage, right? Hire a nanny. I don't know what conversations were had, but if you're getting to that resentful stage and you have the means, I think that's the time to be like, I need some help around here so that I can also go off, leave the house and feel like I had a day. Whatever it is she needed, I am sad that they didn't figure that out in the moment. Because now she says that she sees him trying, but she can't let go of this thing, this like resentment that she has because 3 years was such a long time where she was just left completely alone. Back at the boys' pool party, Jesse is holding court. Now, what I haven't said is that Jesse is wearing a hat at this pool party. It looks like he just got back from a trip to Cuba. But then, as usual, just t-shirt. You know what I mean? So it's just a little bit of flair. Pool party flair.
And he's casually in a center of a little circle of like all of the guys, Zach, Luke, Jax, name a boys. They're all there. And he's like, yeah, you know, we're working on stuff. Me and Michelle are working on stuff. But, you know, last year she applied for an apartment and she told me she was going to leave. And everybody's face is like shocked. In a confessional, he says he was blindsided. He didn't see it coming. Shocker, right? We're all shocked by that. Jesse, really? No. You weren't paying attention to your wife's needs, feelings, and baseline opinions about how life was going? I'm shocked. And then he says that he, after talking to her for a few hours and asking for a second chance, asking her what he could do, which is, I don't know, I feel like you at least got to do that before you just bounce. But who knows? Emotions were probably high. So, and who knows, she might have tried before, and he's omitting that. We don't know here. Well, this is the power of the narrator. He's all we have. And so he says that she decided to give him a second chance. And so he's been working on himself. Meanwhile, Michelle is saying to Brittany that even though he's been working on himself, she still feels the pull that she felt a year ago when she applied for an apartment and she was going to move out on her own. And Brittany's like, yeah, if he isn't your best friend, and, you know, he's not that person. She's like, yeah, I don't think so. She says that it's getting to the point where she's concerned that her daughter is seeing their dysfunction and the bickering and the fighting, and that that's going to rub off on her. And it would be better for her daughter to see two happy people who are not together rather than people fighting all the time. Now, here's where we get to something very interesting. We cut back to the boys and we cut back to Jesse, and he's saying, well, maybe if I had an APAC again, she'd find me. It's not that. It's not that. And then Jax says, oh, Michelle's hanging out with beep, and they bleep it. They have the audacity. I'm watching Peacock on purpose. I always watch Peacock now because I want unedited bleeps. I want to see all of it. Mention it all. But they bleeped Jax. And then they cut to, I'm forgetting his name again, the lawyer husband, and he's in the pool, and he says, is bleep in Malibu right now? What's going on with that? There's a man's name that is being said. Michelle is hanging out with a man, and we haven't heard about this before, and Jesse's somehow okay with this. And he's saying, if I had my APAC back, what? Who's the man? In what capacity are they hanging out? And so then they start adding more facts. Luke is like, oh, he loves Chateau Marmont. I'm like, okay, it's a man who might be in Malibu. He loves Chateau Marmont. And then Jackson, a confessional, spills all the beans. And this is why the Valley is going to do well. You just got to air some stuff every now and then. You just got to do it. So Jack says, Michelle pretends that she doesn't know who famous people are, but she's been hanging out with, what's that director's name? And he says he doesn't remember his name. But then he says that she walks down from her house every day. She walks down from her house every day and she just like walks out and like hangs out at the Chateau Marmont. Like she met this guy in a pool. And then they cut to Jesse saying they met at the pool. She was with him the entire day. They got wrecked. And then they had dinner another night with a famous actor. And then they cut to Jax and he's like, she hung out with him for a whole day. And then she hung out with him for a whole other day. And then a whole other day. And I'm like, Jesse, you don't think this is peculiar? The men are really starting to ask questions. They're like, you're okay with that? And all of them are kind of saying it. So everybody's being heard. They've chimed in that they're saying that it's odd that she spent that much time with, as Luke called it, a super famous, super wealthy guy, director. We're going to figure out who this is. I believe in us. But all of the men have said that. And Jesse's response is, you know, we're real estate agents. I trust her. And if she does something, that's on her. And they just wouldn't be together anymore. And he says he would tell Isabella for the next 40 years that her mom messed everything up. And that's why they're not together. So Jack says that when Jesse's uncomfortable with something, he turns it into a joke, which who doesn't? Okay, it was at this point that I choked because Luke says in a confessional, I know that Michelle and Jesse's relationship isn't the best, but I'm also holding a secret that can just end everything.
A secret that can end everything? Oh, this must be what Kristen has been threatening to share with her text messages last week of, don't worry, your secrets are safe with me. I'm not going to retaliate for my own mental health. That, the producer says, what do you mean? And Luke says, I don't know. How do I put this? Then they cut directly to a scene of him asking Jesse,
Would you work through it if she did make a mistake? So we immediately assume that the secret is that Michelle has stepped out on Jesse. We have no confirmation. I am just judging that by the way they asked him what it was. He stammered, he wondered how to say it, and they cut directly to him saying, but what if she did make a mistake? That's my suspicion. Nothing to go on it but my instinct of how the Bravo editors spliced that together. And he says, Jesse says, I wouldn't, as in he would not stick around, he would not work it out, which further solidifies that being a solid theory. And he goes on and on about how that's his one straw. He can put up with so many other things, but he would not stick around for cheating. And all of the men there have a weird look, like they all know something. Luke looks awkward. Jax is looking straight ahead, like playing with pool water. Luke is just smirking, and it's very awkward. And I'm watching Peacock, so of course, even though I pay, I have to watch ads because what are we if not just consumerism robots? A commercial came on. I was like, is that Orlando Bloom? Because I put the commercials on mute because that's how I stick it to the man. And Orlando Bloom is shirtless, but his body, his physique, he's like ripped and svelte, like a Fight Club kind of look, you know? And he's like yelling on top of a rock in the desert. I was like, what's happening? Legolas, are you okay? And it's some show where he pushes himself to the extreme. It's like to the extreme with Orlando Bloom. I don't know what's wrong with people. Just be rich. Just, you know what I mean? Get a massage. You could do it every day if you wanted to. Not a lot of people can say that. But good for Orlando. Whatever he's challenging himself to do, good for him. It was just jarring to be like, is that Orlando Bloom just yelling on a rock? It was. And then we're back and we're at the Malibu Beach House and the ladies have all changed into little jammy jams outfits. Some are silky, some are t-shirt fabric, and they're just having a good time. And they're sitting down to play games and they're going to play truth or dare or something else. It starts out with, what was something embarrassing that happened to you? And so Brittany starts talking about when she first started dating Jax. His family had a boat in Florida and they went out on the boat and there were stingrays. It was like stingray season and I had to go poop. So I had to crawl in the water like a crab and Jax was with me and he was like 3 feet away. And I don't think his parents know, but they know now. They know now I pooped and the stingrays ate my poop. And I think it's really bonding. That gives me hope for them as a couple. Because I think it's bonding when you got to deal with poop. You know what I mean? In any capacity. It'll bring you together. You got to be in the trenches together and deal with this awkward meat sack body that we have together and see if you can get through that. Because the meat sack issues will persist. They really will. And that is what leads Janet to then say, oh, that's hilarious. Did you know that when Michelle has to poop and they're on vacation, she runs down to the lobby and poops? And that's what got me all flustered from seeing that in a preview last week. And because any man should be thankful to be in the area of a woman, let alone her poop or her toots. He should be thankful to be there, especially a man that was originally just supposed to be a booty call. To be near that booty more than just the duration of a booty call, he should be grateful. Then it gets even worse. Michelle says, I don't say that word. I go number two. She can't even say poop. She won't say poop. Say poop. There was a trend on TikTok that I loved, and it was a sound that said, do you want to be a girl that poops or do you want to be a bitch that shits? And I love that. I would rather be the latter. Now, Brittany is shocked. She's as shocked as I would be during all this. She's like, what? You don't poop in front of your husband? And then they move into sexy talk and somebody pretends to randomly pull a little something. I think they're playing Jenga. And when you pull it, it has a question on it, whatever. She pretends to pull one that says, when's the last time you had sex? Describe it or something. And I'm like, well, that was planned, but okay. And Janet goes and she's pregnant. She says, last time I had sex was, you know, she names a day last week and she's like, it lasted this long. We both came. Yay. Like, she's very... Give me a quick summary, bottom line up front email about three lines or less about your last sexual experience. And so they're going around and doing that. And then, of course, they go to Brittany and she's like, my last time I had sex, gosh, like a month and a half. And some people feign shock and other people are like, oh, no, totally typical when you have a little kid. But the consensus from everyone is like, wow, That's wild, especially for Jax. And they start kind of asking Brittany why, and she tears up. And there are definitely moments where I think it's more real than others. And I do think this one is a tough spot for her. She got emotional and she talks about Jax putting her down and that she needs to feel like she's still attractive to him. And then it slowly comes out where she says that he's very hard on her and that he criticizes her appearance. And that her partner should be someone that's lifting her up when she's in low moments. And she's done that for him. She's stuck by him during all kinds of things. But when she needs him, he has not been that way for her. He's been someone who's criticizing her. But as usual, she kind of like laughs it off. And she's like, Jax would kill me if he knew he was talking about our sex life. I'm like, I knew that was going to be a sore spot. Like, that's going to really drive a wedge, I think, because she's been very open and honest about that. And I don't think that he's going to enjoy that very much. But then Nia gets text messages from her husband. He's having a hard time. The twins won't stop crying. He needs her to come home. And she had just been saying how good it was for her to have days where she can leave the house and get back to, you know, having a good time. And she's not even going to be able to hang out the whole time. So she's about to leave. And I feel sad for her. And she looks sad about it. And Jasmine's commentary is how bad she feels for Nia. She can see she's going through something. She can't even enjoy this night to get away because Danny's home with three babies. And it's another situation where I'm thinking, I know they have childcare. She already said, this is hard for me and I have help. I do think those nights are important. And it's upsetting because you know when you're filming. He couldn't plan on the AC breaking or whatever, but I feel like he should have had some childcare.
And Nia misses out on the hijinks. They show the ladies being very drunk. Brittany is like giving a lap dance to, who was it? Was it Kristen? I don't know. And then Kristen comes out in like a 1950s see-through negligee ribbon cape thing with bows in her hair. And her just full-on boobies are out. Just tits McGee. For all to see. And she's got very nice boobs. But she also snuck out, I guess, in the middle of the night. Everybody wakes up the next morning. They're all going to mill around the kitchen. And they're like, what happened to Kristen? And he said, oh, she fell asleep. And then when before I even woke up, she was gone. Just Kaiser Soze'd out of there. And everybody's pretty much doing fine. They all walk into the kitchen. Jasmine's like, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. People are feeling good. Except for Brittany. She is hurting. She's super hungover. She comes out and she's like, I'm going to throw up. And she had to turn around, go right back and go puke. And poor Janet's like, well, I got to drive a very hungover Brittany home. And there's going to be puke the whole way. And I'm like, there probably will be. And now we cut to Nia and she's filling her husband in on girls' night and how it all went. And he's apologizing for having to call her back home because of the twins and the air conditioning and whatever. And she's telling him about how Brittany said it's been a month and a half for her and Jax and how crazy that is because they are so active and all this kind of stuff. And she said, but she did relate to Brittany saying that she had a hard time because Jax never makes her feel desired and she's having issues with her post having a baby body. And she said she relates to that, that he does a great job. Her husband does a great job of making her feel desired, but she's still having these issues with her own body. It changes so much when you have a baby and after you have a baby for a long time for most of us that are not like personal chefs or just amazing genetics. But she says that she's been dealing with that too. And then they get into the discussion about her postpartum depression. And she didn't want to say that's what it was because she didn't want to just say the word depressed. So she kept saying she had the baby blues and how hard it is for her to deal with this. The sadness just won't go away. And then this part got me and it was so sad to watch and it was just really, really heartbreaking in so many ways because you can relate to it having gone through it and it's hard to see someone struggling and not knowing where to get help, which as much as we talk about postpartum depression now, which is so great, they're really, you can't think immediately of what to do. It's like, oh, I guess I gotta talk to someone, but how would I even find someone? And so I'm going to share that phone number again in a moment here. It was like a number that you could call pretty much from anywhere in the United States, I believe, if you need any kind of support with postpartum depression. So I'm going to say that again. And that number, I'll just say it right now because I looked it up. It is 1-833-TLC-MAMA, M-A-M-A. And so that's 1-833-852 6262. And it's 24/7 free confidential support for anyone who is pregnant or is a new mom. That is a number you can call for support.
Meanwhile, Nia is saying she's so frustrated and she's crying, and she's saying she never really heard anybody talk about this, about what it really is, and that she tried to Google it, and she's crying and he's wiping her tears and she's nursing a baby while she's talking about this. And she's crying and she's saying she thinks that she has high functioning depression, but she doesn't know. She just wants to talk to a counselor. And I really hope that she found one and one that she likes.
And we're back talking to Brittany and Jax, and they are discussing her girls' night, and he's irritated. And they just put Cruz down. They're having their parents' time. And he's criticizing her because she came home so drunk. And he's saying that she vomited in a bag in the driveway. Who hasn't? But this is helping to paint a picture of why he gets so irritated with her, why he was so rude and making little digs about her drinking. If she is getting drunk to the point of wasted every single time she drinks or goes out to have a good time. And she's saying, you told me I could go out and have a good time. I could go get drunk. And then you get mad when I come home and I went out and had a good time. And his whole thing is, I don't know why you can't just have a few drinks. I don't know why you got to be that sauced, which I kind of get. But also the first, I don't know, couple of years when you're under that much stress as a mom, I just feel like it's a no judgment zone when you can let loose. So as a viewer, it's hard to judge because I have empathy for Brittany as a woman and a mother, especially as a woman whose needs are not being met by her husband. And she's dealing with the stress of raising a child, a small child, and all kinds of other drama. And then from his perspective, I get that that would be irritating if she's getting that level of drunk every time. So it's almost like it's just exacerbating the problems that they currently have.
And they have a back and forth where she says, you do that too. You party just as hard. And he's like, I don't puke. I would have had a few beers and I was in bed by 11. She's like, I was asleep by 11:30. He just stares at her. And so then his confessional, he's talking about how she goes too hard and that she's a mother. And when he says that, he clarifies it by saying he's not judging her on going out and having a good time because she's a mom. He's saying she's a mom and they need her, and she could be destroying her body by getting that hardcore drunk. And so I'm like, okay, well, that's got a different vibe to it. So I get what you're saying. He's like, why can't she get high? Why can't she roll a joint? We live in California. I'm like, yeah, she should really try that if she hasn't tried that. I mean, I just think it's so great. Also, I'm high as a kite right now. It's 5 p.m. Oh, the world's my oyster. Then they start talking about girls' night. And he says, how deep did you get into our sex life? And she pauses and she's like, well, I mean, everybody went around and talked about the last time they had sex. So, I mean, I said like a month and a half ago. And you hear a big like sound effect. An actual hit to the ego. And Brittany's just doubling down. She's like, she claps her hands. Step up the game. And he's like, oh. And she says, you could try a little bit. I mean, you could do a little bit to try to make me feel sexy or something. And he's like, I've just been so busy. Things have been so busy. And they go back and forth and they're really laying it all out there. They either planned this or they're being very raw and open, because she says, you need to do more for me. You need to make me feel beautiful. I've been dealing with stuff about my body since I had Cruz. And then he says, I agree, but he says it mid-yawn. So he's yawning while she's sitting there saying to him, I need you to try. I need you to try to make me feel beautiful, attractive, anything. She's wearing a shirt that has his face all over it. It's like a Warhol kind of ripoff thing where it's all the different exposures and colors of a photo of his face. She's wearing him on her chest while she bares her chest to him. And he yawns and says, I agree. That is not a man who cares. That is a man, he's done, I think. This is all bad. But he's excusing it in kind of a humble brag way, where he's saying, the reason I'm so stressed out is I've been on the bottom. I've been waiting by the phone, waiting for the phone to ring. And now I've got too much going on. It's almost becoming a problem. I can't win. And Brittany's like, I love you to pieces. You know, I mean, I'm worth thick as thieves over here. And he's like, we sure are. And no one, that D word, it does not exist in my family. So no one's ever gotten a divorce in Jax's family, apparently. And to further seal their fate, she says, no, that's not happening with us. I went British. Damn, hold on. No,
That's not happening with us.
There, I found it. And Jack says, we don't do that. And Brittany counts it out on her fingers.
Date night. Sexy stuff. Make each other feel good.
And he's like, has it really been a month?
It's going to last like 2 minutes. It's been so long.
As if anyone believes that he hasn't found relief in some way, shape, or form in a month and a half.
He's like, can we do butt stuff? And she giggles super hard. And I was like, get me out of here.
Now, we've jumped to the Lallys where I just made a high discovery, which I'm sure somebody else already made this discovery today. But I rewatched the part where Jax says the director's name, but they bleep it. And I watched it so many times. And I took note of how his face moved and the muscles around his mouth so that I could understand what letters he was pronouncing. I'd heard rumblings that he was either Michael Bay or Quentin Tarantino or someone else. And I was like, well, what are you basing this on? But when you watch his face, if it was Michael Bay, his mouth would open twice. Michael Bay, maybe three times. Michael Bay. It's almost like a Morse code, okay, with a jaw. Like you're doing Morse code with a skeleton with a jawbone. And if it's Quentin Tarantino, that is a very Morse codey beep, 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 beep. And that's exactly how his mouth moved and the shape of the faces he was making.
It does look like Jax is saying Quentin Tarantino. Either way, I feel like it's a matter of time before they just tell us.
Now, I am not a member of the Quentin Tarantino official fan club. I enjoy his work. I don't keep up with his personal life. So I stopped what I was doing and go and look. And he got married in 2020, I want to say. He's got two little kids. I think the last kid that he had was in 2022, according to some articles online. And I remember hearing him on an episode of a podcast, and they were playing a lewd game. And he didn't want to play the game out of respect to his wife. And that was probably 2 years ago. All that to say, if it is Quentin Tarantino, either I have no idea and he and his wife could have separated or something, or B, he was just a nice person and they did just hang out with their circle of friends or whatever. And it was completely, you know, innocent and platonic. And I'm sure he's a friendly person, whatever. So I don't know. I don't know. But I agree that it looks like Jax is saying Quentin Tarantino. Now we go back to the Lallys. They're at their aspirational home near the Chateau Marmont, where Quentin Tarantino may or may not like to hang out. I'm going to check Reddit in a second. I want to know what the Reddit people have to say. But they're confessing to each other what they spilled at their respective fun nights out. He's like, what'd you say at girls night? She's like, what'd you say at guys night? And they tell each other what they said. And she tells him that she really spilled to Brittany, and she said some things out loud that she's never said out loud before. And she looks like she's going to tear up now. So we're into like very serious mode. Either they've planned this out like Brittany and Jax did, or this is completely organic. I don't know with them well enough. But she says, it's clear that I'm not exactly happy and that I don't know what I'm going to do with our relationship. And he cuts to the chase and he's like, hey, we're spending a lot of money on therapy. Do you want this to work or do you not want it to work? And I mean, in a confessional, he's softer. And he's like, I want to do everything I can to make this work for my family, da, da, da. Her response is, I know you want to make it work. But I don't know how I feel. Ouch. But then what happens next is very, very sad and heartbreaking because I really, truly believe that Jesse cracked on camera. He was trying to give a very stiff upper lip response like, you know, well, I'm here because I want to work on this. But he broke and he starts to tear up and his, you know, lip is shaking. And he's saying, I want to give us a chance. I want to raise our daughter together. Very sad, very emotional. He clearly wants to stay in this with her. He says, that's why I'm here. That's what I'm doing, whatever I have to do. And there's piano music playing and he is tearing up and he's slowly taking his hat from forward hat to backwards hat as he's tearing up and choking out words. And there's something comedic and tragic about it all at the same time, because we recognize this is the same man that in the last episode asked his wife if she was cold when she was in her beautiful dress. And she said, yeah. And he did not take off his crazy, insanely painted, weird designer jacket to keep her warm. The same man who she says never changed a diaper, but was hands-on during the pandemic. So I guess he just never handled poop. Their family needs a poop intervention. They need a poop intervention. There's a book, Everybody Poops. Can't recommend it highly enough.
So it's the same guy, but he's so upset in these moments where she's really calling it like, okay, well then I'm out of here. So we can't really know. Only they know what efforts are really being made, but it's off. Something's off. And the comedy and the tragedy, they persist because Jesse says with his backwards hat now and white tee, standard look we've come to know from the jester, he says, do you want a hug? Let's hug it out. And so she stands up to hug it out. And the whole time they have a song playing. No hate, no shade to the people who made the song. It's very on the nose to put it on the scene. It's like, I'm gonna be there for you. Sometimes we need help. That was as Cher sang it. Then we're boom. We're into previews for the next week. The previews are really short for the Valley episodes that come up. Or maybe it's because I'm watching Peacock. I don't know. But it was literally 15 seconds. And most other previews are like 30 seconds. But Jax is saying, she's been texting other men. Doesn't say who the she is. I'm going to assume that it's actually Michelle, not Brittany, that he's talking about. And then they show Janet and Jasmine talking like, has anyone talked to Michelle and Jesse? And I'm like, okay, something's coming out about them next week. That has escalated quickly, hasn't it? I mean, episode one, we saw that there were some issues, some shakiness. They pretty much told us from the jump. Issues between Michelle and Jesse and Brittany and Jax, but Michelle and Jesse are just like going zero to divorce in like five episodes. That might be a new record for reality TV in a series. Usually takes at least most of a season. I don't know how many episodes Camille and Frasier lasted. Had to be more than five. But that's why The Valley is doing great in ratings. People are watching it because things are happening in every single episode. And it runs the gamut from postpartum depression and taking a look at what that really is and how that can impact someone and that vulnerability that Nia is showing, to Kristen trying to get pregnant, to these other two couples dealing with possibly thinking about separation or divorce, even though Jax and Brittany are doubling down saying there will not be any D-word divorce in their family. And yet now, fast forward to them being separated. So, but Michelle's saying to Kristen, like, please don't have any kids. We don't need any more of you around. That was so mean. And then they just sort of like light music started playing and they moved on. Michelle looks terrible in this show, in this series. Just everything that has happened. Like, we feel for her because she's married to Jesse. But I think without Jesse, we would just be like, yeah, she's not so great. But it's because we want better for her and we want her to be with someone that is an equal partner for her at the same time. Yikes, Michelle. That was dark. That was mean and dark. And if Brittany is drinking that much and that hard when she goes out like every time, I mean, yeah, they're dealing with some things, aren't they? You know, that could be the tagline for The Valley. The Valley, they're dealing with some things, aren't they? And who knows, you know, did Jack say Quentin Tarantino, or is it a name that just like would make your jaw bebop that many times? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Will we ever get clarity on it? I think we will. I don't think that this crew can keep their secrets. I'm going to start working the phone tree. Even if they're wrong, I want to know what name they said for sure. I want confirmation on that. They're going to tell us at some point. If you were already planning on ordering a cameo from Jax, just throw in there, hey, bud, extra 20 to tell me confirm what the name was. Blink twice if it was this. Just somebody confirm that. 20 for a blink, that ain't bad. That's a good day's work. The other possible name that was put out in the world was Michael Bay, and that was based on people diving in and seeing that Michelle Lally follows Michael Bay and learning that he, I guess, has lived at the Chateau Marmont part-time or something. Look, I think she's probably schmoozed and met everybody who is like lingering in the bar area with a couple dollars in their pocket to spend on a house at the Chateau Marmont. You know what I mean? I think she's probably working that room. And it's interesting because usually at a resort that's high-end, celebrity-focused, you have to be a guest to have access to the lounge areas. So it's interesting that somebody just, you know, a townie, if you will, can just walk in there and be like, hey, I'm just going to work the room. I'm going to buy a drink and I'm just going to work the room. It's weird that they allow that. They usually crack down at celebrity kind of enclaves about what are you doing here? Do you have a room? If you don't currently have a room, you can't just like schmooze.
But that whole storyline, unexpected and fascinating, and I'm sure there's many people tonight who would like to be removed from this narrative. Sorry, this is going to be it until we find out who the man is. Welcome to the Bravosphere. We're going to be in your lives for a hot second. So that's the recap. That's that pod. We're right under an hour. That's where I like to be. Like and subscribe to this ad-free hour of Power Pod. But whatever you do, do not be like Michelle Lally. Do not, no matter how mad you are at someone, look into a camera and say, please don't have children when they're trying to get pregnant because the world doesn't need more of you. You can think it. Don't say it. Unless you want to be a supervillain.